Welcome to Building My Legacy Podcast. This podcast is designed for leaders and entrepreneurs who want to leave a legacy and will provide strategies that focus upon key elements for legacy creation, determining your desired impact and its benefit, increasing your legacy's reach by engaging key stakeholders, planning, prioritizing, and executing. Here's your host, Dr. Lois Sonstegard.
I'm almost afraid to say this, but it is reality. I'm going to say it. Our businesses are in trouble. They really, really are. There's a lot going on. We have layoffs. We have people just kind of, I call it phoning it in, not really vested in what they're doing. But we have somebody that can come to the rescue, and she's helped many businesses over many years and has even personally coached some of the top level executives in this country. And she's with BuildTomorrow.com. Lois Sonstegard joins us again on the program. Lois, welcome. How are you?
I am great, Steve. Thanks so much for this opportunity again today. It's good to see you.
You too. You're like sunshine here. And I have to say, I have to compliment you. I love your, it looks like a holiday themed sweater that you have on. And that's the first one I've seen all season. So that,
well, there you go. It's the beginning, isn't it?
Absolutely. So we've been talking about collaboration and why it's so important in the workplace. So let's recap from where we left off. What exactly is collaboration?
Collaboration is when two or more people come together to agree on solving a problem together for their mutual benefit. So there is no win or lose. You're both working to accomplish a goal. And there's so much that can be done if we begin to look collaboratively. We have done so much to really undo that perspective because, you know, this last week, you take a look at all of the people, the companies who've begun their layoffs. We thought that that wouldn't start until closer to the first of the year, but it is here in full force. And yesterday I had a conversation with a organization where there is no trust anymore. It has totally eroded. And they're desperately trying to figure out, how do we put the pieces back together again? Well, you know what? When you've got Humpty Dumpty and he's fallen off the wall and all you have is pieces, you've created a lot of work for yourself that could have been avoided. We can put it back together and put it back together in a more beautiful way, actually, more effective way, more productive way. We just need to do it in a very thoughtful and intentional way.
Now, you said before that when there's collaboration, there's no win and no loss. But if you have two people either connected through a business, or let's say they have two separate businesses, but they collaborate for the greater good, isn't there a win there?
There is a win, right? There's a huge win. Huge win. We tend to be so afraid of collaboration, I think, in our culture, because we're taught to compete from a very young time. You know, we go into sports, we compete. I have a family that's competitive. We laugh about how we compete over Parcheesi when the kids were small.
Wow.
And it's our nature. However, if you really want to accomplish something big, you have to do it collaboratively.
I see what you're saying in terms of, it's almost like giving up the secret sauce, you know, why your business is so successful and maybe the other business over here is successful, but you're afraid, you don't want to give up, you know, that, let's say you compete against each other, or let's say there's, you know, there's some parallels there. Okay, let's go here. Do you have to have the right relationship before the collaboration can take place? Because if you don't know each other more deeply, more intimately, if you will, maybe that's where the block is.
Relationship is huge. And that sense of respect for one another and really wanting to grow each other. For example, when I was doing some work in Asia, my Japanese distributor, just a lovely, lovely, incredibly gifted man, very successful in business. He'd established a number of companies. And he came to me and he said, Lois, we could do so much more if we collaborated with some others. So before I knew it, we had some key players from Korea, some key players from Taiwan, key players from Singapore that he brought together because we were trying to solve an issue in supply chain. And together, we had resources to be able to do that. Individually, we would struggle. It would cost us money, a lot of energy, and we would have to manage it at a micro level that would be very, very costly to us personally, but expensive.
Wow. What is the basic framework for collaboration?
Okay, so you covered the first one. It's so, so important, the right partner. And sometimes, Steve, we don't know the partner so well, but we can get to know them because we come together around a common goal. So like with my example with my Japanese distributor, I didn't know the other players well. I did trust Tanaka-san. He had always been reliable, always been consistent. He'd always watched out for both of our greater good, right? Mm-hmm. So when he brought people to the table, I had an openness to them. I didn't know them, but beginning to work on solving a problem, I got to know them. And I developed a great respect for them. I think we all did for one another. It was our common goal that was the glue. And from that came a deep relationship. It was a long-term perspective. We weren't solving a problem for this month or next month or to meet this dollar goal today. It was for what were we creating. So it's not only having the right people, but it's having people who are in it for the long haul. Steve, I'm not going to just be here today to talk with you because you know what? I'm going to get something out of it today. It's Steve, I'm here working with you today because I want to know what you need and what's going to help you with your career. And as I work with you and we're working on a goal together, I want to advance you. I want to help you become more successful. It's not just about me. And that's the big difference.
Think of the offshoots of that. When you work with somebody and their business thrives, you thrive, meaning them. But the accolades that come back, the referrals that come back, the positive feeling that is all around. When you think of it, you know, universally, it's so powerful when you collaborate.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. And in the process, guess what? Stress goes down. Mm. Your life work balance gets into balance better, right? And actually, you begin to see more opportunity. So opportunity is huge. Part of, I think, what happens, Steve, right now in our world, take our organizations. We're tracked into this notion of my short-term goal. I've got to make my profit margins right now. And so we burn, we churn in order to do that. In a sense, we do that in the same when we're with our organizations. It's what market share can I gobble up because I need to dominate the market to be a key player. And that's the way that we've been playing the game. The issue now is the big people keep getting bigger and they keep controlling more of the market. So the people in between, how are you going to compete? Mm. Right? In a big organization, how are you going to stand out and become a leader in a gobble-me-up organization? You're not going to do it alone. It's going to come from a collaborative effort.
And what you said is happening so, especially in the medical field, the gobble-up. Maybe I mentioned it last time. You can't even find, it's almost impossible, at least in this area, a family practice, like one doctor. Or maybe two together. It's these big conglomerates that are swallowing it up. You said something before, Lois, that I thought was very powerful. When you collaborate, the stress goes down. And I believe it's not just because you're solving the problems. You are socializing to solve the problems. You're working with somebody that maybe you might not have worked with before. And it psychologically makes such a big difference with everyone.
You know, it does. So I think one of the things that happens when we're working in isolation and we're dealing with all of these forces that seem to be coming against us, right? We're operating under fear. Is today the day that I go out of business? Is today the day that my position gets eliminated? I mean, those are, like one person said to me, every day I go to work thinking that today is the day I'm going to be done. I'm going to be exited. Well, what a way to approach your day.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, there are a lot of people who do face the day that way. That means your stress is higher. You're putting walls around yourself to protect yourself. You're looking at everybody in terms of, are you for me or are you against me? Right? It's a, it's a mentality that shrinks us. So when we're in that state, our subconscious mind, the subconscious mind's job is to protect our conscious mind. So it goes into protective mode. And so our ability to be creative, to see possibilities, shrinks because we're into protection.
Yep.
And that's the job. We're designed to be that way. And so it's not that the person is wrong. It's that is being human. So part of what we've got to do is open that up and expand it again so you can see possibilities.
I just had this picture, you know, watching an old time Western where the wagons all circle around and just like, let's protect everyone. If I hear somebody say again, I'm just staying off the radar. I just want to stay off the radar. I'm sure you've heard that. It's almost like you get this feeling, the pit in your stomach, even somebody saying it, but let alone living it, that you just, I don't want to be seen over here. I'm not going to come up with a fabulous idea because now I'm on the radar. And even though it may be a great idea, oh yeah, there's that guy. Do we really need him? Let's take a look here. What a horrible way to exist within your workplace.
It is. So one of the things that I think is so important when we talk about collaboration, whether it's in a corporate setting or business to business to business, right, is to look at what would you dare to dream if you could partner with anybody you could choose to partner with to accomplish your dream? Let me ask you that question. How would your dreams change if you could partner with anybody you wanted to partner with?
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Doesn't it make you think?
It really does. Where the sky's the limit. Where the sky's the limit, and there's no judgment, and there's no issues, and you could say, I want to work with them. I think we could work well together, and it would propel us both. What a great feeling that is, going from stay off the radar to that.
Think of it. And what would be your sense of your likelihood of success?
Astronomical.
Yeah, you go, well, of course.
It's a can't lose situation. Even at the minimum, it's a can't lose situation.
At the very minimum. So, you know, and that's the beauty of collaboration. Instead of becoming less than, we become more than. And as you dream, part of what happens is you begin to look at, okay, I'm experiencing this challenge because of. Now, if I had a partner or somebody that was coming alongside me that knew something about that, I could deal with it. So you begin to look at your challenges in a different way. Simply, where are my gaps? What's keeping me from the likelihood of success? Just so I find it really helpful. This is just it's a small, easy way, but take a look at each one of those dreams that you have, big or small, and just take a sheet of paper, list them down, and then put next to them a number from 1 to 10, my likelihood of success. And then ask yourself why. If I had a partner for that, what would happen to my likelihood of success?
I'm a big proponent of the 10 scale.
Isn't it fun?
It really works. Yeah, it really works well because it gives you a barometer. You know,
it gives you a barometer,
right?
And it gives you a way of monitoring your own thinking. You may think that something is really possible until you sit down and you go, well, just a minute, what's my likelihood of that? The other question to ask on a scale of 1 to 10 is, how long will it take? If I'm doing this by myself and finding solutions by myself, how long will it take?
Would you 10 scale that, 10 being a long time, 1 being a very short period of time?
Okay. Yeah, I would.
And it doesn't have to mean anything in terms of years, days, months, or whatever. It's just kind of the feel for it.
A feel for it. And then the third one I would look at is, what's the effort I'm going to have to put in? What will I have to sacrifice in order to achieve that if I'm doing it by myself? Those are the things that keep us from going after our dreams. We don't have the right partners, but we think it's going to take too much time, too much effort, and we're going to have to sacrifice too much, right?
I want to share a real world situation with you that just popped in my head. And this literally happened a few days ago.
Okay.
So
go for it.
Okay. So we have, and this is from friends that I work with, a medical practice. Another medical practice reached out to them in a totally other state, 1,000 miles away, and said, "We've heard about you. We've seen some of the things you've done. We'd like to talk to you about them and see how maybe we could work together." Now, this medical practice, and I saw all the emails, by the way, this is a true story, of the staff, the management staff there, and they were vastly divided. One person said, "Nah, don't want to get involved, don't want to share any information with them." Somebody else said, "Well, why don't we talk to them and see what they're thinking, and maybe we can help them a little bit. Maybe they can help us." And then somebody else said, "Absolutely. Let's start a dialogue. This would be fantastic." Where would you go with that?
So the reason why there's hesitance is, look at what's happened to medical practice. We've had big organizations gobble them up. And once they're gobbled up, their ability to really practice medicine the way they think they want to practice medicine is now controlled. They're told how to practice, how much time to spend with patients. And so suddenly that joy, what took them into medicine, has begun to disappear. So they've watched that. They have been also betrayed by their own professional associations in many ways, I would say, because they have been part of this mega trend. And, you know, years ago when I was looking at some of the research that was being done on practices and group practices, when I was working with at Texas Tech University in their medical school, for example, one of the issues you dealt with was, what's the quality of medical practice? Could you improve it by looking at bringing people into a larger group? And there's a point where, yes, that is true. And then you hit a point where actually, I think, the benefits begin to decrease because people have lost their sense of passion, their sense of taking care of the patient. And so the patient leaves and says, you know, "I wish somebody cared really about who I am as a person," right? And so you have that. But I think because that's the background that we come from, the fear, the pain that people have gone through. 20% of doctors right now say they're going to quit in the next 2 years. We don't have enough doctors right now, and they're quitting because they're burned out. They feel betrayed. They feel they can't practice medicine the way it should be practiced. They're tired of not being able to take care of people, patients as people. Well, when you talk with people, you hear the same thing. "I wish I had a doctor who cared about me as a person," right? I'm not sure about the quality of care. Is it a dollar decision, or is this really the right treatment? COVID brought that out because we've never fully addressed what the impact of the virus was or of the vaccines, right? We don't have an honest discussion. And so as long as those kinds of forces are in place, you have this difficulty in terms of people being willing to be open to even have the discussion. So I think one of the most important things you can do in that setting is to begin the discussion. What if you join together? What could happen? What are the possibilities? What are the boundaries you need to put in place to protect yourself so you don't get gobbled up and disappear?
It was funny. You said relationships before. This is a totally unknown. And even if we factor out that it's a medical practice, they're two independent businesses. They're call it local. So they're not, you know, run by a franchise or a big company, but just the mentality. You know, we have this, who is this person, and this differing of opinion, whether we should work with them or even talk to them or share anything with them. But I agree that, I guess, internally with this business over here, set some boundaries. All right, guys, if we're going to talk with them, we're going to share this with them and only that until we go deeper and form some type of relationship.
It's like dating. You don't just jump in and say, okay, I've now made a decision, right?
Right. Yeah.
You date for a reason. You get to know each other. You establish the relationship. And there's parameters you can put in place to get to know each other, to look at how do you want to structure this relationship so you've got a safety net. You must build safety nets in today's world. And I think once you start to do that, medical practices, businesses that are shrinking or they're afraid that they're going to lose in the marketplace, that they've got to join the big players, for example, to survive, can now come together and actually become a formidable force. Look at medical practices that your example, if they came together independently and worked together collaboratively, and as they did that, then invited others in, they now become a entity that can begin to establish what should happen in the marketplace. They can redefine the product, so to speak. And that could change medical practice. It has inordinate possibilities.
To your point before, Lois, when you said, what's the dream? Think about it. Now you have these two similar practices in different states. What if, and it would take time, but what if they became connected? We have a location in New York. We have a location in North Carolina. Now you reach out to other practices. We have one in California now. One thought that popped in my head, do your research, even if it's somebody that you know, because when I heard this true story, I researched this other practice over here because I wanted to see what the size of it was. Is it equitable? Is it just this little tiny, you know, doctor kind of just doing his thing with a few patients? They look like they had their stuff together, both of them. I know this one well, but this one looks like, you know, they're on the same playing field. So the dialogue should be there.
The dialogue should be there. I get that question often. You know, I was talking with a business that had merged. They brought two businesses together in order to make them larger in the marketplace and to be able to be more efficient. The efficiencies of scale is what they were looking for. They had spent time talking, and so they thought they were aligned. Once they put it in place, they were beginning to see differences. They were beginning to look at, well, is that what I agreed to? Is that what I agreed to? And they got into more those personal types of items rather than keeping their eye on the goal. And how were they working together to increase their likelihood of success? That changes your focus, right? Now, instead of, well, I don't like quite how you do that, that's not the topic. Now it's, how do we accomplish? Who do we work with? What resources do we need to bring? What networks do we need to build? Which part are you going to work on? Which part am I going to? So all those action plans, deliverables have to be clearly delineated and measured. And that's part of a collaboration process that is critical if you want it to succeed.
There's so much we can talk about here, and we're just about out of time. But you know what? It does illustrate one thing, that collaboration is so important and critical to the lifeblood of our businesses. If somebody wants to reach out to you, Lois, you know, with your years of experience and working with so many companies and businesses from all different levels, and even on a one-to-one coaching platform with a lot of CEOs and executives, they just go to the website. What's your website?
The website is www.buildtomorrow.com. But I have a special offer for you today with the show, because it occurred to me after our conversations that there are people who just may want a quick start. How do they get started with a collaboration process? So I'm offering a 3-month quick start for you. Well, I'll help you put together the partners you need, the goals that you want to set forth, and just how you might want to proceed. The cost is $15,000, but for the first person who emails me, lois@buildtomorrow.com, I'll discount it $5,000. So a great opportunity for, you know, as you begin to look at the new year and where do you want to go, look at collaboration. How do you do it? And get a quick start, because it sure can make your year better.
I mean, talk about a New Year's resolution for building your business and making things so much better. And again, with that, and very generous offer. We're talking about 3 months. I mean, this
three months.
Yeah. But it's a period of time that's substantial as well for everything that you can get and what you offer, Lois. Next time we get together, can we talk about the process?
We sure can. Love to.
Yeah, a lot there. Go to the website, Build Tomorrow, and that's build2morrow, morrow.com. Lois, always great talking with you.
Thank you so much, Steve.
I appreciate it. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Building My Legacy podcast with Dr. Lois Sonstegard. To book your appointment with Dr. Sonstegard, visit www.buildtomorrow.com.